Hallelujah. I have a strong word for today. Go to Habakkuk chapter 3. And it's interesting. Monday, I was just sitting, praying, waiting on the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me a message about dealing with disappointment. And I thought, oh, this is odd. I have other things on my heart. Lord, sometimes I'm like weeks ahead, things, you know, inspiration, and he's showing me, and things get put on hold, but it's sort of like a principle of fermentation. The longer it sits, the stronger it gets. So anyway, it'll just get stronger and stronger, but of course, you know, there were some disappointing events this week. I won't get into the politics of things, but we were looking for our president to be reelected, which he still may, because we know there was a lot of corruption, and that we knew ahead. We knew that for months that was going to be. However, that shouldn't change anything for us. And I'm believing for an impartation in case there's any emotions, there's any discouragement or anything like that. Jesus is still on the throne. It doesn't matter what happens on this earth. But let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3. And in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk was a prophet prior to Judah being conquered by the Babylonians and them going into captivity. Some of the prophets were to Israel and Judah, some to Israel, some to Judah. After Solomon's death, the kingdom split into two, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, referred to as Israel and Judah. And what happened, the sins of Israel eventually were judged ahead of the sins of Judah. And the judgment that came was they would be conquered and come into slavery. The Assyrian Empire conquered Israel. Later on, the Babylonians conquered the Assyrians and then ultimately Judah. So God was speaking to Habakkuk about that which was going to come, that judgment was going to come and God would use the Babylonians. And that just completely blew Habakkuk's mind because he's saying, Lord, how they're evil. How can you use them to judge us? Well, we have to understand judgment's about God's dealing with you. You can't be saying, well, I'm not as sinful as these people over here. And that's what Jesus addressed at times relative to that Pharisee spirit. But God had showed Habakkuk what's going to happen. And Habakkuk was very distraught about this. And when we face negative things impending, it can be an opportunity to get discouraged, obviously disappointed, and even worse, depressed. But we can't allow that. We have to know how to handle ourselves in the midst of events like that. This is the word for today. For chapter 3, verse 1 says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigayanoth, if that's how you say that. Now, what we see in chapter 3, there's three things we want to look at here. The first is Habakkuk responded to all this with prayer. And his prayer, simply verse 2, O Lord, I heard your speech, what you said, and was afraid. Sometimes when we're aware of something coming, it could cause fear or it could cause, you know, a lot of different emotional reactions. He said, I heard your speech and I was afraid. Oh, Lord, here's his prayer. Revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Now, he knew because he was a contemporary of Jeremiah. He knew that they were going to be in captivity 70 years. So in the midst of that time being fulfilled, he's saying, Lord, revive your work. And the prophetic word was that they were going to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild that temple. And Isaiah prophesied this 120 years before of who the Persian king would be by name, King Cyrus, the 45th chapter of Isaiah. And he prophesied by name. God touched an ungodly king to commission the purpose of God to be done. Can we have faith for that? That God can even touch the hearts of ungodly people. Don't limit God. You say, well, if they don't believe just like me, can't do anything. That's not biblical to think like that. Now, it might be the exception to the norm, but still we need to hold out in prayer, believing that God can use people however, wherever they're at. He can touch a heart. Revive your work in the midst of the years, or as this time is fulfilled, he's releasing faith for the work to be revived. Now, the one thing I want to point out about this is that when calamity comes, when negative is surrounding you, and it could potentially bring fear, the human tendency of response is to withdraw into yourself, and it's all about me now. How do I survive? And there are whole nations that are survivalist mentalities, like the old communist Russia and all that. The way in describing the people there is they are survivalist. They live for today. That's why they tend to struggle with business, because if they can rip you off today, they don't think about maybe you won't come back tomorrow. I mean, I personally experienced that in Moscow before. You know, they're wanting to try to take advantage of you, and they're not thinking about next year, next week, next month, because they're survivors. Survivors only think about today. People that are survivors are rather dangerous to be around, because if they determine, I need to whack you, take your wallet so I can eat a meal today, they'll whack you and take your wallet and eat a meal today. That mindset's rather dangerous. On top of that, we are very vulnerable to deception and manipulation when we think in these terms. So for us, with this year, with all this pandemic and all that, and the spirit of fear that was unleashed all over the world, so much you have the human response of people turning inward as a result of that fear. And what has suffered more than anything is missions work. Because missions is looking out beyond yourself. I've shared a truth before that an individual needs to be part of a family. And that causes you to look beyond yourself in love. Families need to be a part of a local church. And you train your children that you're a part of something bigger than yourself. If it's just all about us, the self-centeredness of that will bring a self-destruction. And churches need to be a part of the work of God, which I'll call missions, or the nations, so that, again, you're not just looking at yourself, but rather we're looking beyond. And that's what love would do. Maturity thinks like Habakkuk here, that as he hears the news of impending judgment and disaster, so to speak, his prayer, he's thinking about the work of God to be done, not about his own self-preservation. Revive your work, Lord. So the work of God's going to go on. Now, I want to state that the promises of God are yes and amen. His promises and his high priestly ministry, I was teaching on that earlier this morning from Hebrews, is unchangeable. It continues. Therefore, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. It doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change who we are, unless we allow it to. It doesn't change the promises of God or the word of God. So whether we have to believe God in a greater degree or not, isn't really a big deal. Our mind doesn't like it. Our mind doesn't like having to be challenged more. Our mind does not like the possibility of things not being as easy, or there being some suffering or even persecution. The human mind will run away from that at every time. But we have to realize that these things exist in this life. There are times you have more to deal with, and times it's a little bit easier. And we need to be very strong moving forward that we're not going to be moved by whatever's going on. If a socialist, communist, corrupt person wins something like the office of president, if that happens, that's not the end of everything. Jesus is still on the throne. His word's still the same. We have access to the same kingdom of God. We can still have love, joy, and peace. And in the midst of it, shine even brighter as a light to the world. because there's a greater contrast. Well, we see Habakkuk's prayer. Now, I want to get down to verse 17. And there's two more things in this chapter I want to point out. And the next thing here is his consecration. Habakkuk stated his consecration. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields yield no meat, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. That sounds like disaster, doesn't it? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He declares his consecration that no matter what happens, it will not change him in his relationship with God, and that he is going to continue to praise and worship God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his might, like we were commanded to. It doesn't change anything. And this is the consecration that you and I need to have today. You know, because we don't know how all things are going to turn out. You don't know how bad it's going to be, but there are some things we do know. Sin will get worse and worse. The Bible tells us that. Eventually, there'll be a one-world government. The Bible tells us that. Eventually, the Antichrist spirit will be revealed and take charge. But before that, the church has to be taken out of the way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And that's speaking of us being called up in the air and meet him in the air in the midst of the great tribulation. In the middle of that time, we'll be called up. But as long as we're still here, there is a resistance. Whether there's politicians with authority to resist or not, it's irrelevant for us. We're the resistance. We resist evil. It's a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. And the Bible already shows us who the winner is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. And as long as we continue to stand fast, we'll not be overcome. Whether, you know, like you get persecuted under the death or killed or whatever, doesn't kill your spirit, man. Doesn't kill your destiny. Doesn't kill what we have in Christ. His consecration is, I will rejoice in the Lord no matter what. My joy's in him no matter what. My hope is in him. We should never allow ourselves to put our hope in events, in places, in experiences, put our hopes in man, in governments, or anything else like that. But our hope needs to be completely and totally in the Lord himself. In other words, your hope, your expectation. When you're having expectations apart from God, you'll always end up disappointed. You know, jokingly use the illustration, young man meets young woman, they fall in love, they get married, and they have these dreams or these expectations, only to find out that person is not Mr. Wonderful and Mrs. Wonderful. They have flesh too. And you're going to have to grow together in the Lord and learn to walk in love and long-suffering forgiveness and allow the Holy Spirit to keep changing you, moving on together, that together, you're working together can bring a greater glory to God. But if your expectations on that other person, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me, 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 me? That self-centeredness will destroy the whole thing. You can't look at that person for what are they going to do for you. You look at each other together. What are we going to do for the Lord? And part of that's going to entail him changing us a little bit, maybe a whole lot. We need his Holy Spirit working in us to enable us to walk that thing on through and it be a wonderful and glorious thing. Well, we have a consecration, and that's a dedication to something you're not going to back off from. You're not going to compromise. This is what I believe, and this is what I'm committing myself to do. That's a consecration. Lord, I'm going to worship you no matter what. Now, that being said, We have the children of Judah going into captivity. Daniel and his friends, they were a part who believed God, because in chapter 2, verse 4 in Habakkuk, he said, "The just shall live by faith." We continue to live by faith no matter what is going on around us, what oppression or anything else, and the promises of God are still there. And we have to understand, if things are going against us, around us, God can still prosper us. And Daniel prospered to the point where he was raised up to be one of the highest leaders of the kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom at that point. And then on within the Persian kingdom as they conquered the Babylonians. He faced the possibilities of death, but he would not compromise. He had certain convictions and consecrations to the Lord. And because of that, God sustained him and he walked by faith. So we see that as an example that if we are going through really bad, God can still bless and prosper us. When I say prosper, I'm not just saying money, 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 money. Your thinking's wrong if that's how you're hearing it. God can bless you with whatever that would be that's needed in the midst of that. You know, you can do little studies. The Great Depression, people thinking in terms of losing so many, lost so much. Oh, there was a lot of multi-millionaires made during the Depression because they weren't going to just fall down and bow down to this thing. They purposed themselves. And, yeah, there's different ones, but there are these stories of people who built great companies in that time because everyone else was in fear. And most likely, most likely a lot of them knew the Spirit of the Lord and were in faith relative to moving forward. So regardless of what's going on, God can still raise you up and prosper you. Things looked rather bad for Joseph. Joseph's now in prison based on false accusation. But God raised him up where he was second highest in authority over Egypt. So don't be afraid of all the what ifs. Don't be afraid of what if this happens, what if that. Well, if it does, it doesn't change what God's spoken to us. And we need to continue in faith. And God can raise us up above all the stuff we're going to encounter. So Habakkuk states his consecration, no matter what, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Now, something I can just throw out that you can take as a homework assignment, not to be turned in to me, but before the Lord, what's your consecration? What are you consecrated to? I remember reading a book about John G. Lake's life, and in the back, you know, he had shared his consecration. And that this was probably like 30 years ago, and it really moved my heart. And I began to, back then, I don't even know where I have such a thing yet, but I wrote out, being to pray about, what am I consecrated to? Well, you find if you begin to do that, there might be a lot of things. But for simplicity purposes, Habakkuk gave us one. So sometimes when there's a long list of things, you can't remember much of it. Did you ever have that happen? That's why I don't teach a message. Here's 23 points how to be blessed. Because you only probably remember one. If I give you 23, you might not remember any because it's all just swimming around in your head. He gives us this one primary point of his consecration, no matter what. This is his response to the news that judgment's coming. No matter what, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and keep praising him. And I really feel this is really a now word for this hour, in that we need to consecrate ourselves, commit, dedicate ourselves to, Lord, I am committed to praising and worshiping you. I will come to church every week. I will honor you and praise you with all my heart. No half-hearted stuff. All my heart, with expectation for the presence of God and for you to speak to me and strengthen me and to be all that I need you to be. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. My expectation and what we're working towards here, but it involves your cooperation, is that as a people, we are so focused on our rejoicing in him, our worship of the Lord, that we learn to come set towards that. We learn to come with expectation for the presence of God. Because Psalm 22:3 says he inhabits the praise of his people. It's not just a religious exercise. It's not just an obligation. Oh, it's just what we do. No, we're coming to worship our God, to rejoice in how he's blessed us, no matter what. And my expectations out of the presence of God during worship, for him to minister to every need. And I'm very excited or glad about that for another reason, and that is when God moves that way, no man can take the glory. If it begins to become more about like the pastor or a prophet or whoever, they can take the glory. They can start. I don't mean rightfully so. I mean in their own heart. Pride come in because it's about them. But when God just moves and no man's doing anything, corporately we're just worshiping him. You can only but give God all the glory. And that is a key thing. It always has been, but key all the more moving into the last days, that all the glory goes to God because that's what he wants. It's not about any man being glorified. So I'm very excited that that is the intent of the Lord. And I believe it's all of his people, but I'm talking to you. So I'm speaking to us as a people. We will rejoice in the Lord. Expecting God, not coming with what we're thinking, but Lord, I just expect you. And even if nothing happens in according to what our eyes would see, the more important thing is knowing that our praises are like incense ascending up into heaven. The book of Revelation gives us that exact wording and picture that we blessed him. We blessed him. Well, I need to give this last point here. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. This is his confession. Okay, so we see his prayer for the work to continue. We see his consecration. I will rejoice no matter what. And now his confession, the Lord God is my strength. When things are pressing in all around you, you have to be strong. That's really been a theme or an emphasis of the Holy Spirit since March. And I'm believing for that every week, for the impartation through the preaching of the word that speaks to these things, that strength go into your spirit. Now, you can receive it or you can let it go off you like water off a duck's back, but it's here. And that's what he wants to do, because we must be strong and not give any place for this fear devil to get on us. The Lord God is my strength. Part of all this is we hold fast our confession, because words are how power is released. And we confess, Lord, you are my strength. And he adds to it, he'll make my feet like hinds feet or like a deer's foot, and will make me to walk upon the high places. Now, make me to walk upon is one word in the Hebrew. And that word is to trample down, to walk upon, trampling down. And it changes the picture. High places are where idols were worshipped. So what the rest of it's saying is the devil will be under my feet. I am going to trample on, even though I'm going into captivity, I'm going to trample on the work of demons. You know, you look at what's going on around us. I bet my wife hears me say this every day. I don't know how many times a day. Donna, it's demons. You know, the crazy hatred, the crazy sexual perversion, all this stuff going on, it's demons. Some people may be possessed. Some may merely be oppressed. Some, it's just devils talking in their ear, and that's who they listen to. But it's demonic. It's a spirit of Antichrist. It's not going to make any sense to a person with a normal mind like you. Why is all this crazy? Why all this violence? You know, the thing I marvel, why would you burn the stores down in the neighborhood you live in? That's about as dumb as it gets. You're going to burn down the store where you got your food or your medicine or whatever. That's dumb. How can someone be so dumb? It's demons. It's demonic realm. To completely try to destroy life as we know it, to where the Antichrist spirit can have complete domination and control. And what he's saying here, the Lord God's my strength, and devils are going to be under my feet, like it says in Ephesians 1:21. The devil's going to be under my feet. And the devil's like a bully, a lot of big mouth. But it comes down to who's going to punch harder. You know, that bullying spirit tries to intimidate. You have to understand the devil is an agent that uses intimidation and condemnation and lies and deception and all these things. And we have to have the confession that demonic spirit will not rule my life. It's going to be under my feet. That doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to change and we sing kumbaya. But rather, I'll still have the victory. You're not going to destroy me, devil. And that's the type of confession we need to hold fast to. So the word from Habakkuk is really a today word. We need to continue to think of God's work, which is speaking to the great harvest of souls. And that's the reason why this nation can't go down just yet. Because he's called this nation to finance the gospel to the nations. If we stop doing that, well, then we're cooked. There'll be elements of judgment because of sin, but that doesn't have to be on you. You know, judgment of nations, not everyone. You know, Judah came under judgment, but Daniel prospered in the midst of it. So don't allow what's coming on the land to cause your mind to say, well, I'm just going to have to bow down and surrender this thing. No, we need to stand up, stand strong, and continue to move forward in the things he's called us to do in this life. I will rejoice in the Lord my God. Our joy in the God of my salvation. In Psalm 43, the psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, and I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. If we, you see, opportunities for discouragement, disappointment, and all that are going to come at us in our lifetime many times over. But we don't have to accept that or live under it. We can overcome. Why am I cast down? Why am I so upset? Hope in God. Put your hope in him and praise him. The health of your countenance or the glory of God in your life, the joy of the Lord in your life will come as we're praising him, knowing that he is my hope. No matter what happens in this earth, it doesn't change the greater thing that we have access to. It's all still there for us. It really comes down to our choice then. We may not be able to change what all goes on around us, but we don't have to let it change us. And it certainly doesn't change our God. Hallelujah.